Blog Talk Radio.
The Body of Christ Church cordially invites you to listen to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son Christ. This show will air every Thursday on Blog Talk Radio at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you join us, and may you be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
Shalom, everyone. I'm your host, Brother Kakar. The name of the show is It's Time to Awake. The title of the show is The Bill Cosby Saga, and the band plays on. Why is America's favorite dad being attacked with allegations from 20 and 30 years ago? Why now? And where is the evidence of wrongdoing? Could it be something he said? We are the brothers from the Body of Christ Church. As I said again, the show is Time to Awake, Thursdays, 8 p.m. We come out to deal with current topics, events, and things that plague the biblical Israelites that are written about in the Bible, and we discuss these things according to the scriptures to see if our people can wake up and repent. What I have also joined to host, brother, I'll start with you, Kazakh. Say something to the people.
First and foremost, all praises to the Heavenly Father and His Son Christ. Definitely appreciative for another opportunity to participate on the show and bring out the words of repentance, and may our people be edified by the Spirit of the Lord and Christ when we do these shows.
Okay, giving our praises. We got another brother, Helen, from the ATL. The brother Yawanafun, would you say something to the people?
Yes, I will. First and foremost, giving all praise to the Heavenly Father, Eternal Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ. Glad to be here for another show to help our people return to the doctrine of Christ and leave all foolishness of this world.
Very good, very good. So I'll start with you, Kazakh, just for the initial impressions. recently, what we've seen is a situation where Bill Cosby, he's been one of the famous dads. Matter of fact, America's favorite dad, he was known as one point in time. I've known about Bill Cosby from the 60s because being born in the 60s, when you turned on the TV, you really didn't see people of color really in any kind of like leading roles on TV or anything like that. And I can remember from a little kid seeing a series that was on called I Spy, where he was a partner with another guy, and they were doing investigations and solving crimes. And it wasn't your typical step and fetch it now. But recently what we've seen is these allegations coming out concerning him being a vile rapist. But now, one of the things that I want to deal with on this thing, because I'm not going to defend Bill Cosby, neither can I, because I wasn't there. I don't see any evidence supporting any of these things is just a bunch of women coming out the woodwork now saying that he raped them, could be, could not. No, we're not going to deal with that. But we know that he turned into a target behind something he started letting out. He did a speech at the NAACP, and now all of a sudden a lot of the, I guess, the hatred and vitriol, if you will, started coming out against him because some of the things he said. Now, initially you taught me and we were talking and you were saying this would be worthy to a subject to deal with. What are you seeing as far as us dealing with Bill Cosby and his current plight that he's in right now?
Well, it's an unfortunate plight that he finds himself in. And when you're talking about I Spy with Bill Cosby and Robert Culp back in the day, even though I didn't show up on the scene until the 70s, yet, you know, we saw some of those re-aired episodes. So, and then, you know, during my childhood, for me, it was Fat Albert in the game. So,
right.
You know, we're going from the I Spy to the Fat Alberts to the Cosby Show. So you basically... You know, it's as I said before, it's a sad and unfortunate situation. But, and I agree with you on the fact that we're not, the show is not here to focus on the allegations, but the key things that he said in reference to our people, and the things that he said in reference to our people, I'm quite sure for some. Were some very inflammatory statements, but you know, as the common adage goes, the truth hurts. So the overall point now being the statements that Bill Cosby made, do they have some degree of validity? Do the Holy Scriptures even support some of the things from the statements that he made in reference to our people as a whole? And when someone speaks out like that, you know, it's gonna draw a degree of anger as well as just overall attention. And when you speak out in that manner, you know, you're basically setting yourself up to be a target.
Right, right. Okay, you want to send? I'm gonna toss it over to you concerning. You know, all these people popping out the closet. And, you know, one of the very interesting things that I find is that it's already concluded that he's guilty. And, you know, I find that very hypocritical because on the precipice of this decision for the Mike Brown case and the police officer Olson, whether or not he should be found charged with it or not, everyone's saying, well, you know, you got to wait on the evidence. You have to wait on the evidence. Black folks mainly, you shouldn't go act a fool. You have to look at the facts and weigh the evidence out. But in this case, there is no evidence for the most part. It's just he says, she said. See, because when Mike Brown first got shot, I remember like 4 or 5 eyewitnesses coming out right from the jump saying he had his hands up in the air and the police officer shot him and shot him in cold blood. He murdered him. So what you got here is a bunch of women coming out saying, this guy raped me, no evidence, but we don't have to wait on the evidence and we don't have to weigh out the facts. In this case, he's guilty. What has happened to him? He had a series that was being developed on NBC. He had a series that was on, going to stand-up comedy series on Netflix. And even to add insult to injury, no proof, just allegations, the reruns on TV Land, because it's a station that just runs reruns of The Cosby Show, they were all yanked. They're all off the table. They're all canceled, like this guy is guilty. Do you see any hypocrisy in that? And what is your initial thoughts on, you know, this whole saga with Bill?
You know, on that initial, what you were saying about the thoughts on how they're rushing to judgment and how are they going to, well, I shouldn't even say rushing to judgment. They're slanting the view and perception without facts being weighed. I'm just going to say this on that issue. It says, I'm in Proverbs chapter 6, 12 and 6, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 6. It says, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. So they're you know, they coming about with their words to go ahead and convict this man for whatever reason is not right. We're not even going to speak on his case, but how they're going about doing it is all off. And then on top of that, the overall theme I'm seeing on this Bill Cosby issue is saying something that the people did not want to hear, and it's true. And the things that this man is saying, and he's saying in particular, if you hear his statements that we're going to go over, what he's saying is 100%, 110% true. And the thing is, our people hate correction, and they don't want correction, and they don't want to hear it from someone. And if that's the case, it's going to be just like from the beginning, they're going to look for revenge. Okay, instead of, look, let's examine our ways.
Right.
You know, we got, I hate to throw in more comedians, but I'm going to say this. You know, we have Steve Harvey. This man's got a radio show, TV show. They seek his counsel out, okay? And he tells them everything. Look at him like he's all wise. Well, this man put in the left footwork of trying to uplift the people and help them in the condition that they are. And he sees where the problem is, and he's pointing it out. Instead of giving them excuses, now they want to crucify this man. And one more, you got this guy on HBO, what's his name, Bill Maher or whatever?
Yeah.
This guy got his own show, and at the end of the day, he's got so much wisdom that at the end of the night, he goes sleep with another man. And all of that's off. But yet this man, even if he did the things that he did, what he said wasn't wrong, and they're going on a hunt to get him in a way of revenge, in a way of, you know, I'm a one-up you. You ain't better than me. You're not better than me, and you need to shut up, and we're going to make your life a living hell in another way, even though you're trying to help us, you know?
Right.
So that's about it, bro. That's what I see.
Right. See, you know, the thing about it is what I want to get at is the way it's done is done. Satan is very clever on how he does things. And a lot of us, you know, the people that he targeted, the things that he was saying about the criticisms he was making about so-called black folks, right? A lot of us will not come to this man's defense or aid now, like saying simple things like, well, where's the proof? I want to see the proof. I want to see where the evidence takes us on this whole thing. Just like they say we should say, and it was the system. Trayvon Martin got murdered like a dog. I don't care if it was a fight. Sometimes it just comes down to you being in the fight. This whole situation with this Mike Brown situation, I did 30 years in law enforcement. Sometimes when someone charged at you, you were just in the fight. If the person didn't have a weapon, it was no excuse for you to pull out your weapon and shoot them dead. I've been in that scenario and witnessed that scenario 50 bazillion times, based on my experience in law enforcement. But now all of a sudden, it's, well, you know, part of the process, he was in fear of his life, and he did this, and if that's the case, he was justified, and we have to weigh out the evidence. But it's real hypocritical to me that these people coming on TV, and I'm going to keep my humor out of it, because I said something to my wife, and I'm not going to repeat it on the show, because I don't want to discredit what we're going to deal with the show, with some humor that somebody might take to be offensive. But these women are crawling out of crevices from 20, 30 years ago saying, oh, this man raped me. And you know what? He might have. But the whole point is statute of limitations. There's a process, like they always say. Oh, you know what? Zimmerman has to go through the process. Mike Brown, Olson has to go through the process. But the process is not the same when you got these situations with this man and what he's being accused of. You got women on TV, on the news anchors just, oh, he's guilty, he's vile. And it's apparent because they're yanking this man's money away from him and the situations he was set up to do things they're yanking it away from him as he's already guilty. So the process is not the same for him as it is for some of the other cases you always hear. We have to go through the process. It might not be perfect, but it's the process that we have. That's what they always say. But this man is not going through any process, and they're what? Demonizing him. They're destroying him. But the thing about it is he's already said what he said. So basically, our people have to understand, when these people are being executed and assassinated based on what? Their character, we have to still look at the reason behind that, and we have to look at what was said. It doesn't matter if he's imperfect, but what he was saying to a people that needed to hear what he was saying, was it true? That's the point. And that's what we really want to delve in and look at. And basically, what I want to do real quick, I just want to play a clip before we get off into this thing concerning his issues that he's dealing with right now. Just stand by and listen to this clip.
Days before several women claimed Bill Cosby drugged and raped them, the legendary comedian stonewalled the reporters' questions about previous assault accusations and asked for the interview to be scuttled. The Associated Press released a part of a November 6th interview that showed Cosby refusing to answer questions about a 2005 sexual assault lawsuit.
On a separate note, I have to ask about your name coming up in the news recently regarding this comedian.
No, we don't answer that.
Okay. I just wanted to ask if you wanted to respond at all about whether any of that was true.
There's no response.
Can I ask you if, with the persona that people know about Bill Cosby, should they believe anything differently about what...
There is no comment about that.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I think you were told. I don't want to compromise your integrity, but I don't talk about it.
The questions were in response to Hannibal Buress' October 16th stand-up gig in Philadelphia, where Buress repeatedly called Cosby a rapist. Since the interview, three new women claimed the entertainer raped them decades ago, and three TV outlets have scrapped or postponed shows starring the 77-year-old.
So there you have it. That's his current lot that he's in. We have it from a news report. We heard some of the things that he didn't want to talk about during the interview. And the whole thing is this. We'll look at something now that happened. Now, I pulled up an article on American Overlook reporting the truth. And I believe it's a so-called conservative slanted internet news magazine. As you guys well know, I don't deal with the alphabets for news now. ABC, NBC, CNN, CBS, MSNBC. I don't deal with none of them because all it is propaganda. I go get news off the internet and I call it the real news, the so-called alternative news site. Some of the stuff is fringed, but a lot of the stuff is stuff that you don't know or you don't see in mainstream media, and you can research it with the internet to find out how true some of the things are. But anyway, this American Overlook article is AmericanOverlook.com article. I'm just going to read the title of this article because it was very amazing to me. The same day I saw this news article, I don't know how old it is, but the same day I saw this news article, I was looking at it and reading it going, wow, he's at it again. And he's saying what needs to be said again. But then I hear all these rape allegations and how he's getting lambasted and shows pulled off before they even get produced. So this is the title of the article. Once again, it's on AmericanOverlook.com. The title of the article is Bill Cosby Bashes Thugs and Welfare Moms. We Can't Blame White People. That's the name of the article. Now, I'm just going to read some of the stuff that, you know, that was that the article got into it. Then we'll go into some of the specific comments. Because, I mean, they got the entire speech that he gave at a meeting of the NAACP at Once Upon a Time. But he's been saying this stuff on and on all along. So it reads, Bill Cosby's rant against uneducated and apathetic Americans is forcing the country to reevaluate the lifestyles of lifetime welfare recipients. Cosby, who's best known for his patriarchal role on The Cosby Show, is an outspoken Democrat. But over the past several years, Cosby has criticized President Obama for a range of broken promises and railed against entitled Americans for their thuggish behavior and incessant willingness to remain uneducated. So now, that right there is a mouthful. Now, just looking at that, I'm going to go to you, Yuanathan, first. Is there anything about what he just stated, his view, but what he just stated overall, in general, is there anything wrong with what he just said?
You know, as in, taking the viewpoint as a person that's serving the Lord and following the scriptures, no. Because Christ said there will be a time where your eyes shall be evil toward that brother. And we living in these times. And I'm just going to get it. I'm just going to give what Christ says. He says, I got to get that verse. But I'll come back to it. But Christ said that we will be living in a time when your eye will be evil towards your brother. And the Lord also told us from the beginning that if we leave off from keeping his law, statutes, and commandments, that your eye will be evil towards your brother and toward the children in your womb. And that's found in Deuteronomy 28 chapter, okay, in verse, I can't even find that. I want to get it for the listeners.
Oh, that's Deuteronomy 28 and 54. Try that one right there, brother.
I got it. Thank you, bro. Deuteronomy 28, verse 54 says, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother. That's when you get, the Lord said this was going to happen to the children of Israel, whom we are, and evil toward our brother. How are we living it out, 2014, gang? How are we living it out? Wanting to commit adultery with your brother, wanting to sleep with your brother's wife, all of that stuff where he spoke of parents have, these mothers having eight children, eight fathers. Your eyes, instead of looking at your sister for your sister, you look at your sister as a piece of meat and degradation, strip clubs and all of this stuff. The same thing what Cosby is talking about. The Lord said it would go on if we didn't hear his word. So as a man of the Lord, those things, what he said wasn't wrong. But as I'm not speaking all the way for this man, but as a man of the Lord, I can see that why he said the things that he said, and the things he said is not off. He says what? He says single parent homes. You give all your money on clothes instead of on stuff what your kid needs. Stop hating your kid if you don't train them up right. So I'm gonna read this first. Deuteronomy 28:54 says, so that the men that is tender among you, and that doesn't mean effeminate. That means caring, loving, and wanting to see things done right. Okay, so that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother, and toward the wife of his bosom, and toward the remnant of the children which he shall leave. And that's exactly what's going on. The man's man for one reason or the other. The bottom line is you ain't serving the Heavenly Father and His Son Christ. And so now this man that's living out this course of life from the 50s, from the 60s, the 70s, to the 2014s, and what he's saying is what he's seeing. But we as servants of the Lord understand what he sees, and what he sees is the curses of the Lord. But our people don't want to hear that. They don't want to return. They don't want to repent. They don't want correction. So, back to you, bro.
Good. Hey, Zach, same thing to you. Just initially on what we read, just the synopsis of what the article pretty much was bringing out about Bill Cosby. It said he was ranting against uneducated Americans and forcing them to reevaluate lifestyles. Now, he wasn't talking about all Americans, pretty much. He was talking about so-called black folks. And he was saying that how he criticized, dare I say, the Lord and Savior himself, Barack Obama, for what? A range of broken promises. And he railed against what? Thuggish behavior, which the rap industry and our people suck it up like it's what? Sweet honey. Has made exactly us into what? Thugs. That's why when I get my big self in some kind of environment with mostly people of other races, I'm looked at as a thug. And I'm not totally blaming or putting the blame on people, because people are stupid. They're very what? People are pretty much, they don't think on their own. They go with what's being programmed. That's why, you know, when people judge based on the appearance right away, they show their ignorance. I'm not talking about discriminating taste or anything like that. I'm just talking about you see a black person or a big black guy, you automatically be afraid. Why? Because they've been programmed to be that way. And we're not helping, because what do? We play right into those stereotypes. You know, so it's not like something you could be mad about, because, you know, it's the condition of accursed people. That's what it is. And a lot of our people don't want to face it and own up to their part in it. But as the brother Yawanathan was saying, how can you have intact families when you have a curse on a people, and that curse is on them because they refuse to acknowledge it, for one, acknowledge their God and deal with his wisdom? How can you have an intact family with the curse of hating one another? There is no black love. There is none. So-called black on black or brown and brown. They try to separate us, but we all are children of the curse. And you got the man that hates his woman and the woman hates her man. They both hate their children. How can you get anything other than the confusion that he's talking about out of that? You can't. So do you see anything, adding on to what the brother was saying, wrong with what Bill Cosby was bringing out about our condition in 2014? Go ahead, bro.
No, I don't see anything wrong with what Mr. Cosby was bringing out in the article that I'm looking at right now. I don't see anything wrong with it, other than the fact that he didn't get to the source of the why. But that's right. Another conversation all within itself. But just reading and looking at the article and what he's saying, he's 100% on point. The question now becomes, for those of our people who read this article, took their time, read the article, did it ever occur to them, why is he making these statements, or what's provoking him to make these statements? They just say, okay, yeah, it's true, 100% on point, but why is he making these statements? Or what's the catalyst for Bill Cosby to make these statements? Now, I would like to read two scriptures. First scripture, this is Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 7. Surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. The first part of the scripture is the scripture that I want to emphasize, where it says, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. Now, of course, a man that's wise, the wise man that the scriptures are referring to here, is a man wise in the understanding of thus saith the Lord out of the Bible. However, right. When you look at what's going on with our people, even on a carnal / secular level, if you're really paying attention to what's going on with our people and the things that are being perpetrated against our people, quote-unquote, in the black community, or quote-unquote, the African-American / Latino community, even on a carnal / secular level, you can see that we are oppressed. The problem is we don't know why we are oppressed, and we don't know how to alleviate that oppression or get ourselves out from under that that oppression that we're currently in. We don't know. We try to band-aid the situation with programs. We try to band-aid the situation with speeches. We try to band-aid the situation with government-funded programs or agencies or incentives, what have you. But the true cure to what we're dealing with is nothing carnal, is nothing secular. It's spiritual. Second scripture I'd like to read. This is Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. It's one of my favorites, and it definitely applies to what we're talking about today. It says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." So now let's look at what I'm just going to read just two small snippets of what Cosby is saying here. He says, "I can't even talk the way these people talk." Quote, that is, Cosby said. Why you ain't, where you is, who you be, everybody knows it's important to speak English except these knuckleheads. You will never get any kind of job making a decent living," end quote, he added. So the overall point is the things that Cosby is saying are just examples of what the Lord said, first and foremost, and Hosea 4 and 6, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." We're destroyed spiritually. We're destroyed economically. We are destroyed. And what knowledge is it that we are lacking? Brothers, we are lacking the knowledge of the commandments. We are lacking the knowledge of the teachings of Jesus Christ. We are lacking the application of the example of Jesus Christ. And because we're lacking that knowledge, we are destroyed. We think we come from, we identify ourselves with a continent. We identify ourselves with religion. We think, or we have become tolerant of things that other nations look down upon and they shake their head at. For example, when Cosby said people used to be ashamed of having children with multiple men, Cosby noted. But today, a woman has 8 children with 8 different husbands or men, whatever you call them now, end quote. So that's just another example of our people being destroyed for lack of knowledge. So the comments that Cosby was making in this article are 100% on point. Now, let's go to the reason why those comments are made or why these things are rampant or plaguing our people is because we lack the knowledge of the Heavenly Father and the teachings of His Son, Jesus Christ. And because of that, you're going to continue to have what's going on in Ferguson. You're going to continue to have a woman having 8 and 9, and of course I'm exaggerating, baby daddies, or men having 10 or 11 baby mamas. You continue to have our people
hold on.
Say again?
Hold on, that's not an exaggeration. The baby's mamas and the baby mama and the baby daddy drama, it is up in the 9s and 8s and 10s and 11s.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. And you will continue to have our people highly dependent on the welfare system. Now, the way to get out from under that is through repentance. The problem with that is our people don't want to turn back to the Heavenly Father. Our people want to continue to lean on their own understanding and do what they think is right and lead their lives by how they think or how they feel or how society programs us to lead our lives instead of how the Lord has instructed us to lead our lives. So it's a vicious cycle. And the only way to break that cycle is through repentance and coming back and following the example of Christ. Back to you, brother man.
Okay, so you said something I want to make sure we reiterate. You talked about how our people are in love with religion, church, their pastor, so on and so forth. Because when we talk about coming back to the scriptures, a lot of people get turned off by what they've been presented or what's been presented to them as God, the Bible, Christ. Because when we say Jesus Christ, a lot of folks say to us, why are you worshiping a white man? That's why a lot of our people have went into like Islam and different varying religions, because they think that God is white, Christ is white, and it's all anti them. When they don't know, that very mindset and attitude keeps you in a cursed condition. That's why you scream, we shall overcome, you ain't overcame yet. That's why you scream, no justice, no peace, you ain't got justice yet. Hell, what, the Dred Scott decision was back in the 1800s, and we still looking for justice. But the holy part that you miss is when you hating on the Bible and God, and it's such a turnoff, you don't understand that you've been bamboozled, and you've been duped, and you've been made to go away from your Creator. I'm going to read a scripture in Jeremiah, the 5th chapter, and this is what the problem is. Jeremiah called it in his time. It's the same thing with the same people in this time. Jeremiah 5, verse 31. It says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? So now, the end thereof is going to be tragic if you don't repent and learn how to come back to the wisdom and the true understanding, thus saith the Lord. Why, over all the time, when you look at our people, whether they be in South America, the islands, Russia, Germany, Poland, the Rhineland back in the day, because even back in the day, when Hitler started his campaign and ethnic cleansing and eugenics and all that, it started with the so-called people of color in that land. He was trying to annihilate them, just like we willingly go and be annihilated today. You know what it's called? Family planning, Planned Parenthood, abortion clinics. We killing 52 to 53% of our babies before they even born. So we willingly doing it now. But all these things happen to us as a tragedy, and we don't even recognize what kind of tragedy we in, because we fail to deal with thus saith the Lord. We're too busy following prophets, prophesying falsely, and priests, pastors, ministers, religious guru, what? Ruling by their means. This is the church rules. Well, Pastor Creflo Dollar said, if you don't pay your tithes, such and such and such. T.D. Jakes said, woman thou art loose. See, because they're dealing with these degenerate, evil, wicked, vile men, and they think that's what Christianity is, and that's what the Bible is all about, they get turned off and they turn to something else. When we're saying, no, that's not what it's about. All you have to do is read your Bible, thus saith the Lord, and you'll find out what it's really about. And then when you start to apply it, you'll see the understanding is a lot different from what you thought it was. And that is, in essence, the problem. We don't want to hear it, pretty much. Now, you want to think. I want to go and deal with some actual statements that this man made, Bill Cosby. And anytime I read these statements, when y'all think I'm wrong by what really is going on compared to what he's saying, if you think it's different, interrupt me by all means and tell me that, you know, this is foolishness and correct me according to what the scriptures say. So now, basically, yeah, Zach, you read the part about how the way we talk. And, you know, it's really crazy because when you look at it over the years, people make fun of it, like Ebonics. That was a big comedy thing. You know, like you talked about how the eye is evil against his neighbor, the one curse that we got on. It was a comedy routine, probably to me, one of his funniest stand-up comedy routines. Was when Chris Rock, I think it was the Bigger Blacker tour or whatever, when he did the thing about the worst hatred and racism going on in America is black people against N-words. He said people love black folks, but they hate N-words. That's out of vile hatred. Why? Because of the things that this man brings out. Like, you go to school and get a college education, he was talking about, and you get ostracized on the block. But you go to jail and do a 15-year bid, and everybody got so much love for you. If you want to hide something, guess what? Put it in a book. If you want to hide something from an N-word, put it in a book. Why? Because they ain't going to read it. These are the things that, you know, it makes comical. And I was dying laughing. Actually, I was in tears when he was going through the routine. Because then when you think about it, it's kind of sad that it's funny. Because everything that he was saying was true. Like, black-on-black crime, that hatred we have. He said, like, you know, black people complain about it's the media that put us in a bad light. It's the media. He said, just like me and you, when we go to the ATM machine at night to get some money out, are we looking for Geraldo Rivera? No, we're looking for somebody that look like us, that's going to hit us over our head and take our money or shoot us. That's what we're looking for. It ain't no damn media. It's us. Because we are a cursed people, you can laugh at it, but then when you really look at it, for something to be humorous or funny, it has to have a ring of truth. And that's the problem with us and these curses. So all these things this man is saying, and I'm going to read some, is true. You brought out the one curse in Deuteronomy 28:54, and the reason we read in that book a lot about the curses is because that is what we refer to as the book of the curses. It's where Moses listed a lot of things that we would suffer because we were what? Rebellious, hard-headed, stiff-hearted, and would not deal with the wisdom of the Lord. Now, Yehonathan, back to you.
Okay.
It says here, one of the comments he's made, and he's been, people wanted him to shut up, but he hasn't shut up. So it says here, he says, people used to be ashamed, this is quote, people used to be ashamed, unquote, of having children with multiple men, Cole Cosby noted. But, quote, today a woman has 8 children with 8 different husbands or men or whatever you call them now, unquote. So now, was there something wrong with that statement? Is that something that you see on our people? Go ahead, bro.
That's something that we see that's, it's like it's, how can I say it? It's a, I would say like a disease on our people. You know, it's that prevalent that it's like the norm. No, it's so much of a norm now that no one never even questions why. They seem to expect it and seems to, like it's all right, like you're drinking a glass of fresh spring water. That's how the actions and the things that we do is accepted. And that's wrong because when you, as a man, he's looking at it, but as a man, as a servant of Christ, when you see the wisdom that the Heavenly Father has given us, you understand, you begin to see that that's often that it's not that the Lord hates us so much. The Lord tells us to come to him and learn of him. So you have that. Because it says in, I'm going to get it in Hebrews 13, in chapter 13 and verse 4. And it says, Hebrews 13 and 4, it says, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Okay? But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So this Cosby is only saying when, for the stuff that he grew up in, even our people was not totally following the Christ of the scriptures. Back then, there was a little better than what it is now. Just like the prophet said, we have done worse than our fathers. So the present generation, we have doing worse wickedness than our fathers have, and our fathers have done more wickedness than their fathers have. So now, we're not saying one generation is better than another, but we all understand that all generations have forsaken the Lord on every manner, on this manner as we speak of. And what he's bringing out is we brought ourselves down, degraded ourselves down so low that we like animals. You know, we pick up and have sex like animals instead of having sex like men and women and being honorable in the sight of the Heavenly mm-hmm. Father. We like beasts mm-hmm. and adulterers and fornicators as we speak now. And that's mm-hmm. the thing that he sees, and that's the thing that he's speaking of. And people want him to stop, right? I heard a comment mm-hmm. someone said people want him to stop. Well, it's just like churches, like the Body of Christ Church, brothers that speak in the words of Christ. Everybody wants us to shut up, but we're not going to because if we love the Heavenly Father in Christ, we ain't going to shut up. And this man here, he sees the condition. His eyes is open on the conditions after trying to help people in his way. When the Heavenly Father already told us, no man shall buy us, right? Meaning nobody's right. going to deliver us out of these conditions. This man mm-hmm. is up to the point of frustration, but we mm-hmm. understand that, look, the deliverance ain't coming through him, but he's saying things that he sees on the people, and he's understanding. Hopefully he understands that he needs to get with Christ's program. But the things that he see ain't wrong, and what he's seeing is right. You know, and nobody wants to give ear because it sounds too much like right. You know,
right.
It sounds too much like right.
Right.
I just have one thing also. I was reading in the book of Baruch. The prophet Baruch said this in Baruch, the third chapter. And this is speaking of the Heavenly Father. In chapter 3, verse 35 and verse 36, it says, this is our God, and there is none other to be accounted of in comparison of him. He's talking about the Almighty. There ain't no rock, there ain't no stone, there ain't no cloud, there ain't no comet. It ain't nothing compared to the Almighty Creator that created everything. And he goes on and says this in verse 36. Verse 36 says, he hath found out all the way of knowledge, talking about the Most High, and hath given it unto Jacob his servant and to Israel his beloved. Now, I read that because the Heavenly Father who made everything out of nothing, made everything that you can think of, made everything you can't even foresee. And then he gave the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding to a particular people, the children of Israel, when it says Jacob. And that wisdom was supposed to abide in Israel. Chief wisdom, all wisdom was supposed to abide in Israel. Who's Israel? Israel is the children that's a reproach and a scoff in all nations, that serve all nations, that want to blame the white man. But understanding the Lord said, I'm going to put you in the hand of your enemies because you won't serve me. These same people, the same people that Mr. Cosby is speaking of. Now, the wisdom is supposed to be with them, and they don't want to take just simple day-to-day breathtaking wisdom. A man sees a woman, a sister, that serves the Lord, wants to raise up a family in righteousness to the next generation. What's wrong with that? They mad at him. Why? But the wisdom is there. But simple things like that, simple things on not just covering your brother's house, destroying your brother's, your neighborhood and whatnot, simple things like that we don't want to hold on to. And the reason why is because we reject the wisdom, knowledge, understanding of the Heavenly Father. You can't tell me 1 + 1 don't equal 2. When you see things as wrong and you see things needs to be corrected and you see that people need to change and people don't want to hear it, something's wrong. So that was
exactly.
They don't want the wisdom. And the righteousness is before them, and even a simple man sees these things, and they still hate a simple man for seeing the truth. The things the Lord mm-hmm. said will be on our people from generation to generation for a sign and for us to turn back. So back to you, bro.
All right. I'm going to read this scripture because it sums up a lot of what you were saying. Jeremiah 4, verse 22 reads, for my people are foolish, for my people is foolish, they have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. See, because everything we gravitate to, look at the people that you really see put up as like idols, and that's a whole nother conversation too. We're not supposed to have no idols. We're supposed to deal with the one true living God. That's who we're supposed to admire, and his son Christ. That's who we're supposed to strive to be like. But look at who they put these people up, and look at them. You got, I'm looking at the alternative news, different articles on, and it made it to mainstream media. we fascinated with Kim Kardashian's rear behind. And this person is famous. And what did she get famous for? A sex tape. Everybody's talking about how beautiful she is and this and this and that. And her husband, the freak that he is, with foolishness. And these are the people we're supposed to emulate. You look at, you know, Jay-Z, Will Smith, all these people, Oprah Winfrey, Barack Obama. They all satanic, demonic foolishness. And people look at you something like that like you crazy. But if you go to the archives of blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC, you'll find classes that delineate the truth from the madness and understanding from what is right and what is wicked as hell. And some of those people I mentioned will be highlighted in some of those classes. You do the math, you do the checking. And the thing about it is we live in a very perverse world. We gravitate to foolishness. We gravitate to simplicity. We don't want to deal with the knowledge and doing right. This is what Jeremiah was saying about the people back then. It's the same thing about our people now. It says, "For my people is foolish," Jeremiah 4:22. "They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none." That's not understanding. And it says, "They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge." We don't even make it out of romper room when it comes to doing good. But we have a PhD scholar in all kind of wickedness. Look at our people. You got this thing on in Ferguson about to jump off. What are our people going to do? Same thing they did during Rodney King and the same thing they did during Katrina. How foolish and stupid it is. And people get upset when you say that. But the scriptures are telling you that we simple because we evil as hell. You in a place that's flooded over with water, but you looting big screen TVs. What the hell is a big screen TV going to do for you when you walk in waist deep in water? These are you can go look at the file footage of the stuff that they were showing. Rodney King. This dude, the cops that beat him half to death get off, and you tear up your whole city. Kill a bunch of people. And then the news media made the people that was on top of their roofs with guns protecting their store look like the villains, while the villains are running around maiming and killing people, dragging people, minding their own damn business, Reginald Denny, driving a truck, slam a brick upside his head for what? For no reason. But the people with the guns on top of the roof trying to protect their possessions, they were the villains, but the people that was throwing rocks and posing after they throwing rocks, dragging the poor truck driver out the car, beating them half to death, oh, they were just misunderstood. They're dealing with urban rage syndrome. Foolishness. But that's what our people gravitate to. You don't want to hear anyone, the beloved America's favorite dad, saying what you need to hear, and what are they doing? They throwing them up under the bus right about now. He's a vile rapist. No proof, just accusations. And I'm not defending him, because it could be true. But we don't know. But it's already like it is true, and he's convicted and guilty. I'm surprised nobody said they should hang, drag, and quarter him. So now, when you look at, matter of fact, you know what? Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back with some more of these quotes, and we'll examine them. And what I want to do is deal with these quotes. And let's bring out some understanding on thus saith the Lord about some of the things that this man is seeing. So stand by for this quick break, and we'll be right back.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursday at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.
Days before several women claimed Bill Cosby drugged and raped them, the legendary comedian stonewalled the reporters' questions about previous assault accusations and asked for the interview to be scuttled. The Associated Press released a part of a November 6th interview that showed Cosby refusing to answer questions about a 2005 sexual assault lawsuit.
On a separate note, I have to ask about your name coming up in the news recently regarding this comedian.
No, we don't answer that.
Okay. I just wanted to ask if you wanted to respond at all about whether any of that was true.
There's no response.
Okay. Can I ask you if, with the persona that people know about Bill Cosby, should they believe anything differently about what...
There is no comment about that.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I think you were told. I don't want to compromise your integrity, but I don't talk about it.
Okay.
The questions were in response to Hannibal Buress' October 16th stand-up gig in Philadelphia, where Buress repeatedly called Cosby a rapist. Since the interview, three new women claimed the entertainer raped them decades ago, and three TV outlets have scrapped or postponed shows starring the 77-year-old.
So there you have it. The show is It's Time to Awake. The title is The Bill Cosby Saga, and the band plays on. And what we're doing is wondering out loud, or looking at the fact that this man is being attacked with allegations from 20 or 30 years ago. And the interesting thing is the impetus for this whole thing was a comedian stand-up act, some comedian named Buress, where during this act he repeatedly called Bill Cosby a rapist or whatever because of some of the allegations in the past. And the thing about it is our question is, could it be something that he said, the reason why these things are being heaped upon him to do what? Discredit him. Because remember now, Bill Cosby has been showing a certain amount of integrity about things for years. I remember the first time I noticed it was when he came out, when he was quite perturbed, because he was the impetus behind the Little Rascal Our Gang show. I don't know if people remember that. It was a show where these little kids were getting into all this mischief, but the little black carrots they had, mainly Stymie and Buckwheat, wore two big clothes. Buckwheat's hair was all over the top of his head. Stymie wore two big clothes. And it was all this negative imagery of so-called black folk. And Bill Cosby put a lot of money and effort behind getting those shows to stop airing so prominently. And then he came on TV one day talking about, I spent all that money and took all that time to put these shows off, and these N-words are running out wearing clothes five times too big for them, pants sagging off their behind, and so on and so forth. They're dressing like, and using the imagery that we thought was negative and tried to air. And they're using that first time I remember him coming out saying something about the degenerate behavior of so-called black folk. And as far as I can see, he's been a target ever since. And that's what we're talking about. Even though you can kill a messenger of sorts, you can't kill the message. And we're out here to let you know that you can't do that, because a lot of these things that he's saying, maybe without not dealing with the slant of repentance and understanding why, according to thus saith the Lord, but these things still ring true, whether or not he is a vile rapist. So we have to look at these things. Now, you wanted that. I want to go right into something that he said, and I want us to just look at it and deal with the scriptures on this. He says here, this is Bill Cosby, his speech. I'm reading a part of it. Quote, I am talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit. What he's talking about, when you locked up in some kind of jail system, usually a lot of people think it's orange jumpsuits for some reason. I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit. Where were you when he was 2? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? And how come you didn't know that he had a pistol? And where is the father? Or who is the father? So now, is that something that we see too often in our communities? I'm putting this out to you, Kazakh. I said you wanted to, but Kazakh, is this something something that we see too much in our communities among those people that are dealing with the curses and so on and so forth? And what does the Bible say about basically child rearing and dealing with your children and bringing them up and guiding them into what? Young adult and adult age. Go ahead, bro.
All right, so that's a good piece that you read there, because that's a plague that is on our nation, and we see it so far too often, to the extent that nowadays we have become desensitized by it. You know, we look at it, we see in the news like, oh well, another African American youth in jail, or another Latino youth in jail. No, life goes on past the orange juice. But the overall point is, that's something very, very important that we got to look into. I'm talking about these people who cry when their son is standing there in an orange suit. Where were you when he was 2? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? And how come you didn't know he had a pistol? And where is the father? Or who is the father? Very, very, very important questions, pointed questions at our community, that what he's stating ultimately is, these areas are just a few of many areas in which we as a people are lacking. Now, let's get into the scriptures right quick. Let's first and foremost, let's deal with that child rearing, because that's very, very important. And for that, I would like to go to Psalm. The book of Psalms, please. Psalm 79. Bear with me a second. This is Psalm 79. Well, I apologize. I meant to say 78. And I'll start at verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Okay, you got a roadblock right there already with our people, because they don't want to give ear or take heed or pay attention to the words of the Heavenly Father, to the laws of the Bible. They don't want to do that. They think the Bible is antiquated, or they think that the Bible has been tampered with, or they think that the Bible was written or translated by King James, who was a homosexual, quote-unquote, and the excuses go on and on and on. But let's look at the words of God Almighty and look at what the Lord is telling us. Here again, give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Verse 5, verse 4, and 5 are very important verses. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. So in other words, what the Lord is telling us here in Psalm 78, verses 4 and 5, is that we have a responsibility to teach our children. We don't let Facebook teach our children. We don't let Twitter teach our children. We don't let the internet teach our children. We're supposed to be the forefront teachers and educators of our children, and the Bible, the teachings of Christ, is what we're supposed to be teaching and educating our children with. Starting first and foremost with us as parents, and it doesn't mean that you, it doesn't matter if you have biological children or not. If you have the charge or the responsibility of looking out for, taking care of a child, then it is your charge or responsibility to teach that child the words of the Lord. Verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So guess what? Fathers, and I'm not discounting mothers now, but fathers, you have a very, very, very grave and serious responsibility. And that very grave and serious responsibility is to be at the forefront of teaching and educating your son or your daughter according to the words of this Bible. And right about now, that is what is lacking in our community. Fathers are not teaching their children. Fathers, in many cases, aren't even present. So basically the point is that child-rearing question that you asked me, it starts first and foremost with the parents, and now I'm incorporating mothers too. It's both the father and the mother's responsibility to teach and raise and be an example of thus saith the Lord. First and foremost, that repentance has got to come in, whether the child is in a two-parent household or a one-parent household. That repentance has got to come in which the parent makes that change. They repent. They leave the wickedness, the vile things of this world. That is left alone, and their focus is now serving the Lord and bettering themselves. And in that, they are teaching their son or their daughter or their children to serve and worship and follow the Lord the way Christ outlined it. Then, when you get that foundation established in Christ for yourself and being that example, then you're teaching your children. That's how you begin to develop that true family bond. Mm-hmm. When you do that. Because if not, anything can come in and literally just take the family unit out. Your true family structure is in the Holy Bible. Matter of fact, let's go to that right quick. This is Ephesians. Maybe give me a second. Now, this is Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. So guess what? Parents have a responsibility to teach and be examples. Children have responsibilities to learn and to apply those teachings. Here again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So whatever your parents are advising you or instructing you to do, as long as what they are advising or instructing you to do is not against the will of the Lord, it's not against the commandments of the Heavenly Father, it's not against the teachings of Christ, it is the child's responsibility to obey and do what it is that they are being instructed to do. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. You read it, you read about that promise in Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 10 commandments. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So fathers, excuse me, we are not supposed to mistreat our children. We are not supposed to neglect or ignore our children. What we're supposed to do is to teach and instruct and bring them up in that care as well as that discipline of the Lord out of the scriptures. But it has to happen first with the father being repentant and following the example of Jesus Christ. And afterwards, that same example being taught to the family. Now, it says fathers here, but please, for anyone who's listening to the show, do not think that mothers are excluded. Because when you read in the book of Titus, bear with me a second, the book of Titus, chapter 2, starting at verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. In other words, the commandments, the teachings of Christ, the example of Christ, those are the things that are sound doctrine that we are supposed to be speaking. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Verse 3 is very important. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So mothers, they have a responsibility and a charge just as important as the fathers. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of the Lord be not blasphemed. So in other words, here again, for the sake of emphasis and clarity, mothers have just as much a grave and sobering responsibility to teach and to be examples of the teachings of Jesus Christ, of his teachings as well as the commandments, just as much as the fathers do. And when you have both parents working in conjunction with that goal in mind of being those joint heirs to salvation, that's how your true family structure is established, with the father as well as the mother working together, complementing each other according to how the Heavenly Father has outlined it in the scriptures, and the children are learning and they're seeing that example. And when the children see that, they become the fulfillment of what you read in Proverbs 22 and 6, where it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Right. Beautiful. So basically, the questions that he's asking about, you know, crying when he's in an orange suit, where were you when he was 2? Where were you when he was 12? Where were you when he was 18? How come we didn't know he had a pistol? And where is the father, or who is his father? All those things, all those insightful things that you read out of the scriptures is the remedy so you wouldn't be asking questions like this. And that's the thing that our people really miss when it comes to dealing with the scriptures, because they think church or dealing in Christ or dealing with the Bible is like what they see on TV, praise break, dancing, and so on and so forth. Matter of fact, those things cause you to be in the dilemma that you're in right now, because those things are empty when it comes to the wisdom and understanding and the true root of what we need to get out of the words of the Most High through his son Christ. When you did, people will look at that and go, well, you know, this guy is talking about Jesus Christ. They're dealing with that fake Christ. He's an illusion It's a make-believe. It's mythological. It's this and this and that and that and this. And the thing about it is that's your presupposition. That's what you've been taught. That's what you believe, and that's what you're hanging on to. But that doesn't mean that that's true. And that's what we have to say to people when you deal with them and you start dealing with the scriptures. You'll find out the things that you've been programmed to believe about the world, the way the world is, things of the world. It's not true. It's all a lie. It's the design of Satan. And then you'll find out the Bible is true. That's what you're dealing with right now. Bill Cosby had a lot of insightful things that he was seeing, but he was falling short with the remedies and understanding why these things are on a certain people. You wanted to go ahead. You had something you wanted to add on to the point about his comment about where were you when he was your son in an orange suit going to jail. When you weren't there, where were you at dealing when he was 12, 18, why you didn't know he had a pistol, and where is his father, and who is his father? Go ahead, bro. You want something to add to that?
Yes. All of those statements, the myth, the orange suit, the way your father is, all of those things is a direct witness, a direct testament that this Bible is true, and that this Bible, everything that that man just said is in the Bible. I'm just going to just read just a few. I'm in Isaiah, the fourth chapter. Make it Isaiah, the third chapter, and verse 12. And it says, as for Isaiah 3 and 12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which leave thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path. So the first part, children are their oppressors. Every time we look on the news, it's children are 19, what's the top statistic ages? I would say from 19 to 28 years old, in and out of jail, in and robbing this person. Like down here in Atlanta, just turn on the 5 o'clock news, 6 o'clock news, 19-year-old, twin brother, twin cousin, whoever it is, and it's what? So-called black, so-called Hispanics, majority, which are, when we look in the word of the Heavenly Father, the children of Israel, some of the children of Israel. But the thing is, it says children are our oppressors, constantly doing the crime, the evilness. And it is not just because they're children, it's because they learn it from the forefathers who ain't teaching them the law, statutes, and commandments. Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 20 says this. It says, thy sons have fainted. They lie at the head of all the streets, street corners. That's the head of the streets. As a wild bull in a net, they are full of the fury of the Lord, the rebuke of thy God. But this Bible ain't true, okay? But you acting a fool because you reject the wisdom of the Heavenly Father. Therefore, you in a foolish condition. But you want to blame the white man. You want to blame the Asian. You want to blame the African. You want to blame the Arabs, the East Indians. But you never want to look at your own doings and examine your ways. And you full of that foolishness, because that's the rebuke of the Lord, because we don't want to do what was right. And then when the one comes and says this, the one is Jesus Christ, the one is the one that sits on the right of the Father as we speak, that was delivered up in the heavens after 3 days and three nights in the belly of this earth, like the Lord said. But when he came, he said this. I'm in Luke, the fourth chapter, and I'm at verse 18, and it reads, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to teach the acceptable year of the Lord. This man we reject. It's a myth. But yet your whole life, he's here to help us. He's here to set us free when it says deliverance to the captives, the ones that's in prison. Okay, the brokenhearted, the broke, and the poor. That's us as a people. But you want to say it's the white man. But Christ is here, has his hand out, has the doctrine to show you, correct you, to make you perfect like he is. But we refuse it. It's a myth. This book is faith. So now we got orange suits. Now we got Now we got the what's it, 7 to 12 year bid or whatever. We got those things. We got prison wives and stuff. Instead of righteous families that's fearing the Lord, we got all kind of madness, baby mama drama and stuff. Just one more thing. I saw a show today. This man of our people was arguing this woman down that the child wasn't his. Now, mind you, this daughter has grown up to be 24 years old. The child looks exactly like the man. They don't even look like the mother is involved in the conception of the child. But this is how going we are as a people. The man argued in the court that the child wasn't his. And then and me and my wife looking at it like, there's no way this kid can't be his. So then it took the court order for him to see that this child was his. And then he's talking, I'll be your father. Now, and it's too late. And then that's just the madness and the hatred that's on our people. You see, like I said, you see such, you know your offspring, you see your offspring, it looks exactly like you, that's your offspring, but your mind is so corrupt and filled with hatred, it ain't mine. It ain't mine until the drug test, DNA test, it ain't mine and all this other stuff. But the point I just wanted to just throw that out there and the rest is, all of this is because this Bible is a myth and you don't want to receive the righteous words. And all the orange suits and the parents here and there and rejecting the kids is because you refuse to humble down and hear the words of Christ and hear the acceptable year of the deliverance of righteousness and put your mind into a freedom, righteous mindset by the words of Christ. But because you refuse that, you fighting your daughters, you fighting your sons, you fighting your parents, you making a monster of your neighborhood by you being a troll and a thief, and all of these things constantly going on. But yet the righteous word is a myth book, and our suits is prevalent because you are that testament against the word of the Heavenly Father, and you refuse to turn back. I just had to throw that in there, bro.
Yeah, very good. That's a very good, because that's what haunts our people. They refuse. I mean, absolutely diehard refuse to turn back to the Lord. Like Jeremiah, since I'm right here in the fourth chapter, Jeremiah cried out to the people back then, as well as Christ crying out to the people in what the latter days when he taught what we were supposed to teach. And it's the same thing. Jeremiah 4, verse 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. So what he goes and continues on to say to them, you got to stop doing your evil, wicked ways. Turn back to your God through his son Christ and follow him. Follow the ways that were meant for you, not all these ways and abominations that you're putting on and that what you got us in this we in this condition because of our choosing. Because the Most High warned us in the book of the curses. If y'all go rebellious mode and y'all don't want to listen and hearken unto my words, all these things are going to befall you, and we living out every one to this day. So now I want to read some more of what he said, and we're going to get ready to close out because it's getting late. But I'm going to read, and then I'm going to ask specific questions concerning some of the things he said. So we're not going to go over all of it, but I just want to put it out there for the audience hears what else he said in his speech. I'm going to pick up at a part right here where he talks about the condition of the people and some of the attire or costuming, as I like to call it. It says, people putting their clothes on backward, isn't that a sign of something going wrong? People with their hats on backward, pants down around the crack, isn't that a sign of something? Or are you waiting for Jesus to pull his pants up? Isn't it a sign of something when she has her dress all the way up and got all type of needles, piercings going through her body? What part of Africa did this come from? We are not Africans. Those people are not Africans. They don't know a thing about Africa with names like Shaniqua, Taliqua, and Muhammad, and all of that crap. And all of them are in jail. Brown or black versus the Board of Education is no longer the white man's problem. We have got to take the neighborhood back. People used to be ashamed. Today, a woman has 8 children with 8 different husbands, or men, or whatever you call them now. We have millionaire football players who can't read. We have million-dollar basketball players who can't write 2 paragraphs. We as black folks have to do a better job. Someone working at Walmart with 7 kids, you are hurting us. We have to start holding each other to a higher standard. We cannot blame white people any longer. So now, if you ask me, just my personal opinion, and you know what opinions are, they're like another part of the anatomy that everyone has. But just for the heck of it, my personal opinion, some of the allegations in the media deriding this guy has something to do with diminishing what he's saying, things like he's saying here. Because it's not meant for these people that he's talking about to be uplifted on any level. It's meant for them to be degenerate, knuckles dragging on the ground, and just as wicked and rebellious as they want to be. Now, I'm going to throw it out here for you guys, and we're going to do the closing wrap-up on this thing here. He mentioned about the clothes-wearing customs and the things that we just as a people accept and do that make you think that we don't have our right mind. But what I want to deal with is what he says here about what is the better standard, thus saith the Lord, that we should be held to? And can we still blame white people? Kazak, you start off and then I'll close out with your one thing. Go ahead.
Okay, the better standard, the only standard, the truest standard, the highest standard, is the scriptures, the Bible. Mm. That's the standard. Mm. When a man is loving and respecting his wife, and a wife is loving and respecting her husband, and the basis or the foundation of that love and mutual respect between a man and his wife is out of the scriptures, that is standard.
Mm.
And then when you have that standard, you have the basis of, here again, that true family structure. Because when the children see that, as well as they learn from both their parents and they receive that discipline to teach them right from wrong, then guess what? Those are those things that the children will cleave unto. And when they get married and then they have children, the same things that they learn from their parents, those things, those values, for lack of better words, are now being taught to their children. Now, I would like to read this right quick. This is Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. That's a question. How long will the simple of our people continue to embrace and love the simplicity? How long will our people continue to embrace those things that keep us down? How long will our people continue to embrace the welfare? Multiple baby mamas, multiple baby daddies. How long will our people continue to embrace the foolishness that is religion, philosophy, vain opinion, various doctrines that have nothing to do with salvation? So now, verse 23 tells us something very important. It says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So the Lord is telling us to turn at his reproof. Turn at the Lord's correction. In other words, we're supposed to turn to the scriptures and simultaneously turn away from the simplicity, the wickedness, the evils of our doings. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. We receive the spirit of the Heavenly Father and Christ when we repent. And then we put into practice or we put into action those things in the Bible, those things in the teachings of Christ. We put those and we apply those things to our lives. That's how that spirit is being poured out onto us. I will make known my words unto you. Because the Bible, believe it or not, it's for some people, it's like a puzzle or something they can't understand. However, when you read in the scriptures and Psalms 111 and verse 10, the last part of that verse tells us that a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. So if you really want to get an understanding of the Bible, then you have to repent and follow the commandments, follow the examples of Jesus Christ, follow his teachings, and through time and patience and application, you will begin to understand gradually, bit by bit, what the Bible is talking about, and some of those dark verses become verses that are plain to you. But it comes through repentance and turning at the reproof or the correction of the Lord God Almighty.
Very good, brother. Very good. So you wanted that. I'm going to toss the same question to you. He says here, we as black folks have to do a better job. Someone working at Walmart with 7 kids, you are hurting us. We have to start holding each other to a higher standard. We cannot blame white people any longer. Unquote. So when you look at that, the brother brought out some of the points about the standard and the blame game, because we love to blame. You brought that out earlier. We love to blame other people, but we don't want to look at ourselves. So what do you see with that statement about the standard we need to hold ourselves to and about the blame game? Go ahead.
Well, the standard we need to hold ourselves up to, the standard is set in stone by the word of the Heavenly Father, and the standard is given, and understanding is given of that standard by the words of Jesus Christ. Okay? And it says, I'm just going to read a point. It says Isaiah 11 and 10. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10 says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles see, and his rest shall be glorious. So Jesus Christ is that ensign. Jesus Christ is that standard. Jesus Christ is the one that's going to be, he is the one the Heavenly Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I well please. Hear ye him. So now if we want to be sons and daughters in the sight of the Almighty, we ought to hear the only Son of the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, so we can be like him. Okay? He is the one. When it says in that verse, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, that's all speaking of Jesus Christ, the lineage of Jesus Christ, from Jesse to David, Solomon, on down to Joseph, and that's just speaking of Jesus Christ. All right? And I'm going to read on, and it says this, and it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people. It shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, and from Pathros, and from Cush, and from Elam, and from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the isles of the sea, because the children of Israel are scattered in all nations. This the Lord is bringing us back, collecting us, Jesus Christ, collecting us back through repentance. And he shall set an ensign for the nations, and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel, and gather together the dispersed of Judah, and from the four corners of the earth. That standard is Jesus Christ. And Christ's doctrine, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So that's the standard. He's collecting us as we speak. Wherever we at, and we hear shows like this, more importantly, wherever we hear the words of Jesus Christ telling us what to do, which is to repent, he's collecting us. And in that day, he's going to physically collect us in that day. But now he's spiritually collecting us for us to do right in that standard. It's his doctrine, his will, how he did things. This is how we ought to do things. He's not a mystery. He's the truth. He's the Alpha and Omega, and he's the one we ought to follow, the shepherd, the Heavenly Father's flock. That's all.
Very good, very good. You brothers did a very good job. I want to take the last part of this, and I'm going to deal with something that, you know, we hope that our people get from all of these things that we teach. Because when you look at it, Christ even warned us when you go to Luke, the 21st chapter, we talked about the curses. He talks about that one curse that the Most High perpetually put us in, that curse of captivity. You know, it wasn't because the white man was evil, we ended up in the hole of slave ships going across the Middle Passage and serving captivity and slavery, not just in America, but all over the world. That's not a coincidence. It's not because the white man was evil, the Arab man was evil, the so-called Africans sold the other tribes into slavery. No, there was a certain people in those lands that were rounded up, and they were what? Put in slavery over what? Different eras of time. Because that's one of the things that the Most High punished us with, was captivity after captivity. As a matter of fact, he said the curses would be a sign and a wonder upon us when you read Deuteronomy 28, starting at verse 45, right? But now, when we look at that, what's the remedy? And we've been saying it, but I'm going to read it. It's the first thing that Christ started teaching when he came dealing with his ministry. What did he come teaching? Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." A lot of our people don't even know what those words mean. They go to church, beat the tambourine, do the praise dance, do the praise break, do the mime dance and all that church mime, all that foolishness that go on, Holy Ghost breakdown and break out and do the running man and virtual acrobatics. And that's not what this is all about. Christ didn't teach none of that. Christ came teaching that we had to repent. What does that look like? I'm going to deal with what the scriptures say, and this is what a lot of our people need to do. They need to deal with what the scriptures say to reconcile themselves. What does it look like? What do we need to do? Why is a 77-year-old man looking at his people going, "Pull your pants up. Why are your women dressing like whores? And why do you got so many piercings and tattoos on you? Don't that seem like it's something wrong with you? You don't know nothing about Africa. You ain't no African with a name like Taliqua Nakakakisha." That's just foolishness. So what does what Christ was saying look like? It looks like what he taught us to deal with. I'm going to read Titus 2. I'm going to start at verse 11. It says, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." So what did the Most High send his son to teach us? To amend our ways. That's what repentance is. We have to learn his ways and put them on, walk and live according to them, not believing what we've been taught. The Bible is a myth. Jesus Christ and God is white. The white man wrote the Bible. Some homosexual King James did this and thus and that. That's just straight foolishness. We got to get out of the simplicity, and we have to wake up and hear our God, listen to his voice, and follow him and him only. With that, giving all praises for the understanding that came out to the show, to the brother Kazak, for the brother Kazak in the ATL, the brother Yawanathan in the ATL, and your host, Kakongabar, we come and we hope that our people hear this word and repent. Once again, the name of the show is It's Time to Awake, which is a very fitting title for our people to understand. And for those of us that have a thimble full of understanding, we have to do what the scriptures say, is we have to stay in this battle and we have to stay in this fight and we have to do the will of our Lord and Savior and his bidding. With that, we're going to say shalom. Until the next time, we bid our people farewell.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth.
www.thebocc.com.